I invite your attention today to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We continue our study on spiritual warfare. Now, if you hadn't, last Sunday we started, and I'm not going to go back and re-preach it, but if you hadn't heard that, we're kind of picking up in the middle. So I would recommend you go back and get it, right? So that you'll understand where we are. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to begin reading in verse 13 today. Will you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? And to give you a heads up, I originally said we were going to go through verse 15, and we will read through verse 15. However, we probably will not get that far today. All right? Begin reading at verse 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says, "Therefore, because of everything that we've talked about up to this point, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh how we need you. We need your strength and your power and these spiritual this spiritual equipment, Lord, to battle against the wiles of Satan. Father, we know we can do nothing on our own. And so as we look into this passage, I pray that you will speak to us as individuals. That, Father, you will equip us that we may be valiant warriors. That we may not fall in the battle, but that we may win victory every time. Father, I pray for those in the service today who are hurting, those who are fighting the spiritual battles, those who are beat up. Father, I pray that you would open their hearts and their minds to receive your word, that they may know how to fight the battles that are ahead. Now we give this service, Lord, to you. This is your service. We commend it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The armor of God. This message is as old, it's older than I am. I've heard this message preached, and not this particular message that I'm preaching this morning, but this passage preached since I was old enough to listen. But it's still as relevant today as it was when I was a child. As a matter of fact, it's probably even more relevant today. Because there is a spiritual battle going on. And the goal of this armor that Paul is laying before us, the goal is that you may be able to stand. And having done all to stand as you fight the believer's warfare today. Have you ever lost? Losing is no fun. Let no one kid you, right? It is no fun to lose. The old saying, it's not if you win or lose, it's how you play the game, hogwash. How you play the game is important, but I want to win. I do not like being beat up on. And oftentimes that's what happens to the believer today, because they are ill-equipped to face the power of the enemy. And the enemy is real. Satan is real. He's not some comic book figure with a pointed tail and horns. His demons are real, and they are here just to destroy you. They're more powerful than you are, smarter than you are, they're more cunning than you are. And your only hope today as you fight these battles is what Paul is giving us in this spiritual armor. Right? And today we start putting on this armor with the belt of truth. Therefore, verse 14, Paul put it like this: "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." Very simply, put on the belt. Now, you know the Roman soldiers, and again, you've probably heard this, but the Roman soldiers would wear a belt around their waist, and they would, before they would go to battle or do any kind of work, they would take their tunic and they would stick that in the belt so that it didn't get around their feet and get in the way of their warfare. When we say the belt of truth, speaking spiritually, there's some things you have to get out of the way so you can do a good warfare. And when we say the belt of truth, that word truth, the Greek's aletheia, it's used in several different ways. Used in this context, we're not talking about Bible truth. We're going to get to that later. You do have to have the truth of the Word of God in you, but we'll get to that later. When we're talking about the truth that is here, we're talking about the integrity of the believer. We're talking about what's going on inside of you. Today, I guess we'd call it being real or being honest. My first question, is the inside or is your inside the same as what you are trying to be on the outside? You see, the problem with many believers is we put way too much emphasis on appearance. We want everyone to see us, and we want them to think that we have got our act together. I mean, after all, as you look at me today, I'm the pastor. I do not have a sin problem. I always do everything right. Hogwash. No, sir. I battle the same battles that you battle. And the problem that we have, and that I've even had as a pastor, is I've sometimes placed a little bit too much emphasis on, I wonder what they think of me. Oh, I don't want them to get the wrong impression of me. And then I begin to live and conduct myself in a manner so that I will impress people. Or to cause them to think, well, he is the real deal. He is a holy guy. He loves Jesus. And then I forget to work on the inside. So I ask you the question again. Does the inside agree with what you're trying to portray to others so that they will believe about you? Jesus dealt with the same thing in dealing with the Pharisees. Now, Jesus didn't have that problem, but the Pharisees had that problem. Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 23. We'll use our Bibles a lot today, so keep them in your lap. Matthew chapter 23. And verse 28. And you might want to keep your finger in this chapter for the moment, because we're going to come back here a little bit later on. But Jesus, in dealing with the Pharisees, he had a unique word that he called them. And in verse 28, he's speaking to these Pharisees and he says, "Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men." Everything they did, whether it was prayers, whether it was offerings, it was all about what men could see them do. "Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of" what? "Hypocrisy and lawlessness." Jesus said, you've done all this to convince everybody else, but I know the inside. You're just a play actor. You've not taken care of the heart of the problem. And that's the way Christians are today. I mean, let's be honest. We tend to be more concerned with the appearance than with the truth of what's inside. And until you get the inside right, the outside doesn't matter. I'll give you an example. Why did you come to church today? Don't answer out loud. Did you come here because you're supposed to come to church? Kind of. Why should you have come here? To give God the glory. To worship Him, Spirit and truth. You see, when you do what you're supposed to do for others to see, you're missing it. That's what we're talking about, starting working on the inside. How many of you, don't raise your hands, but how many of you say your prayers of thanksgiving before a meal? Why do you do that? Do you do that because that's what Christian people do? Or do you do that because you're truly grateful? You know every good gift is from above. And it's a gift of God. You just want to stop and give Him the glory. Which one is it? You see, it's so easy for us to get into that play the game. Play the Christian game. And especially if you're a little bit legalistic, it's real easy to get there. But here's the problem. Got a newsflash. Everybody listen. If you're listening, say amen. You're not fooling anyone. Your hypocrisy is evident to everyone except yourself. I promise you, the rest of these folks, they can look around and they can see your fault and they can see you playing the game and you acting out. They know it. You're just not willing to admit it. You see, here's the problem. Luke chapter 46, verse 45. Here is the reality. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. Say, Brother Doug, why don't you just put them on the screen? I want you to go through the trouble of looking it up. Say, but it takes so long. That's why it takes so long. We've put so much on the screen that we're forgetting how to use the Bible. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Are you ready? Everybody needs this. Right? Verse 45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What I say? I said, everybody knows it but you. Right? You may play this game for everyone to see. But I promise you, the people who really know you see the truth because no matter how you try to pretend and portray that you've got this Christianity thing all together, those people that are closest to you, they see what's coming out of your heart. They see the real you. Because what's in here will, sooner or later, come out here. You know? That's why this is just so important. You see, before we can put on the rest of the armor of God, we've got to get this right. We've got to get the inside right. Let me ask you, do you use profanity? Do you use profanity? You hypocrite. Why would you call me a hypocrite? Because what's coming out of the mouth is coming from the heart. Amen? Are you harsh and bitter as you look at other people and speak of other people and judgmental of other people? You hypocrite? What's the problem? What's in your heart's coming out of your mouth. Oh, you can play the church game and you can go to church and you can look like a Christian to most, but those who know you see what's coming out. And that's what Jesus was trying to get across to these Pharisees. Back to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23 and verse 26. Jesus tells them, "Hey guys, you're a hypocrite. You're playing the game. You haven't taken care of the inside." Matthew 23 verse 26 says, "Blind Pharisees, here's what you do. First, cleanse the inside of the cup and dish that the outside of them may be clean also. If you don't cleanse the inside, the outside will never be clean." You'll just play a game and have dirty dishes. You got to fix the inside first. And you probably never thought about this being the spiritual armor of God, but it is. The integrity of the believer, what's real on the inside. Listen, you better be genuine before you go to battle with Satan. I'm reminded of those Jews who were casting out demons. They were casting out demons in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached. Remember what happened to those fellas? They said, "Paul, we know. We don't know who you are." That's what the demon said. "We don't know who you are." And they jumped on them. They were playing the game. Question you got to ask today is, are you real? Is there integrity on the inside? See, the problem is you've given a place to Satan on the inside. And you know, we talk about being indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God, but you have to allow yourself to be indwelled. You have to give yourself to the Lord. You can't reserve special little spots for Satan. If you look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, back over where we were, we're told, here's what it looks like. Paul's telling the church at Ephesus, he's saying, "Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin." How many of you do that? "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." Listen, if you're not full of Jesus, Satan's ready to move in. Step one of the armor of God. Clean up the inside. Be real. Be genuine. Have integrity. Step number two. The breastplate of righteousness. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we know the breastplate, it would cover the chest and the lower abdomen, and it protected those vital organs for the soldier to prevent spears or arrows or knives or whatever from penetrating into the heart, the lungs, the other vital organs, because if they took a shot there, they're done. But when we apply this to the righteousness of the spiritual armor, we're talking about the righteousness of Christ put into practice in the life of the believer. Living it. See, a while ago we were on the inside. When you get the inside right, then you're ready to start working on the outside. Start putting into practice your faith. Not to impress men, but to honor God. Now we go from inside to out, and this lifestyle that will demonstrate Jesus to the world. But here's what you have to understand. The wrong action by the believer can be absolutely devastating, even deadly to the believer's testimony. The reason? And you remember this, and you take this home with you and use it again. The reason the wrong action is so devastating to a testimony is because God forgives and forgets. But people do not. Think about that for a minute. The Bible says if we will confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Right? He will. Our sins are cast as far as east is from the west. But let me tell you, when you catch me in a sin, you're going to remember it, aren't you? You will. I do the same thing. Right? That's why our conduct is so very important, because what we do today will affect what opportunities we have to bring others to Jesus Christ tomorrow. Because believe you me, people are watching. As a pastor, you know, and here, you know, gets what I was talking about a while ago. Sometimes I forget the inside because I'm so worried about what people are looking at on the outside. I've always tried to be very careful not to be involved in anything that would damage my testimony. Have I always accomplished that? No. No, I have not. I have slipped and fell from time to time. But listen, I want to be careful. I want to be careful because I have children. And I have grandchildren. And right now, my children have made a profession of faith. But I've got 5 grandchildren and only one of them have made a profession of faith. And I want them to know Jesus Christ when they grow up. That's why my testimony is so important. My testimony is important because when I'm out away from this church and somebody says, what do you do for a living? I say, I'm the pastor of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. I want them to say, I've heard good things about you. Not, I've heard about you. You know, my testimony opens or closes doors is the point. But you let me get in a scandal. Whether it be a sex scandal, a financial scandal. Boy, that's one of those flaming arrows to the heart that can destroy my testimony. I don't want any part of that. I want to be covered with the breastplate of righteousness. I want to tell you what, pastors are not the only one. Deacons, set up and take notice. You're being watched too. If you're a deacon of Victory Baptist Church, people are watching you. And when you mess up, guess what they're going to say? Aren't you a deacon over there at Victory? I don't want none of that church. If that's what they stand for. I'll tell you another thing. Members are watching you. Here's the thing that bothers me. You see, I think deacons should be mature enough to set the example in the church. Give me an amen. Because I know I'm right. Deacons should set the example. One of the examples deacons should set, they should come to church. I understand, you know, there are people that work and have jobs and I get all that. That's not what I'm talking about, right? If you're a deacon, you should come to church, period. You should be here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening. That's setting an example. Because when you don't come on one of those services, you're declaring to the rest of the membership of Victory Missionary Baptist Church that those services are not important. You're a deacon. Challenge it. Set the example. Set the example. See, that's why you were ordained. Because people thought, here's a guy that's going to present Victory Baptist Church in a good light. It's part of the armor. And not just pastors and deacons. Parents. Parents, you have to protect your testimony, especially in front of your children. Here's the thing. Do you tell your children don't lie? Do you lie? I promise you, they're watching you. And when you do lie, they're going to say, oh, Mom and Dad lie. Well, they did it, so I can get away with my lie. You tell your children don't drink. I know, Brother Doug, you say, Brother Doug, there's nothing the Bible says, thou shalt not drink. I get it, right? I get it. But let me tell you something. If you expect your children to lay off the alcohol and drink in front of them, you are a big old hypocrite. And they're not going to listen to what you say. They're going to listen to what you do. Right? Do you tell your children, don't use foul language? Do you? Have you ever, as a father, have you ever told your kids, you respect your mom? Husbands, do you respect your wife? Do you set the example in front of them? When my kids were growing up, that's not just when my kids were growing up. I try to always treat Beth with honor and respect. Why? Number one, she deserves it. And number two, it's my job as her husband to honor her and respect her and to treat her that way. Right? The point being, we're all, my friends, we're all under a microscope. And everything we let drop, every foul word we use, a little piece of that armor drops. Every time we say one thing and do another, a little part of that chain mail, it drops off. Every time. And then people look at us and they point fingers and say, yeah, you preach, yeah, you say, but I know the truth. That's why I say God forgives, but people do not. Matthew 5:13. I want you to understand, as I'm preaching this today, I'm not preaching this in accusation of you. I've had to preach this to myself repeatedly this week. Matthew 5:13. Here's who we are as believers. Matthew 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Listen, I'm a saltaholic. I like salt. The one thing I cannot stand is bland food. You know? Something, we're living in this age. I'm going to tell myself that they don't put salt shakers on the tables of restaurants anymore. And I've been told, well, if you salt or season your food, you would offend the chef. Well, buddy, if I'm paying for your food, I don't care whether I offend you or not. We're going to salt that stuff up, right? Because it adds flavor. It adds flavor. It gives it taste. I want to tell you, this is an evil world we live in. It is a world that is corrupt. A world that is sinful, in which morality has been thrown out the window. What the world needs is a people who are genuine on the inside as well as genuine on the outside. What the world needs is a flavor of Jesus Christ. And we're the salt. We're the salt. Verse 14, you're the light of the world. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Shine on, brother. Shine on. Be salt and light. That's our inside and out. And that's the armor of God. So, Brother Doug, you know, that sounds good, but how do you put that into practice? How do you actually do that? How do you be salt and light? You want to know that, right? Good, because I'm going to tell you anyway. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus goes through a list. And He tells us some things. And it's not, I mean, this is an all-comprehensive list. But I want you to, here's what being salt and light looks like. Chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Here's how you put it into practice. Have you got aught against someone? Go say, I'm sorry. But Brother Doug, you don't understand. It wasn't my fault. It doesn't matter. Fix the relationship. You can't be right with God and wrong with a brother. That's what it says. You want to put on your armor? Fix the relationship. Say, I'm sorry. Matthew 25, 27. Here's something else you can do. You've heard it said, by those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her already commits adultery with her in his heart. How do you look at the opposite sex? And women are just as bad as men. Okay? Don't look with lustful eyes. Look with godly eyes. Chapter 5, verse 31. Here's something else. Furthermore, it's been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorcement. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Here's the deal. Are you thinking about throwing your marriage out? That's not salt and light. That's the world. Fix your marriage. Love your wife. Wives, honor your husband. Verse 37. Oh, here's the good one. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Do what you say you'll do. Wouldn't the world, wouldn't the country be a wonderful country if people would just do what they said they'll do? You know, we're in political season. Season in which a lot of promises are made. Then after the election happens, those promises go away until next political election. But you know, it's not just politicians, it's you and I. Let us be faithful in word. Verse 41, I love this part. Whosoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, you do not turn away. This is salt and light stuff. Give to him who asks you. Verse 43, the big one. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. This is salt and light stuff. All part of the same sermon that when Jesus was over here, he says, you're salt, you're light. And now, then the next thing he does, he starts telling them what salt and light looks like. You say, Brother Doug, how does that help me or protect me from attack? I'm glad you asked. As a pastor, I have opportunity from time to time to do premarital counseling and to do marriage counseling. I couldn't do either of those if my marriage is not right. Why? Because I would be a point of accusation. People will say, what do you know, Brother Doug? We see how you treat your wife. But when they see a healthy marriage, and don't get me wrong, I've got a long way to go, and bless Beth her heart. Beth, bless her heart, is very patient. I've got a lot of improvement to do. But I want to tell you, she doesn't have to worry about the way I'm going to treat her today or tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. I'm going to treat her with love and respect. Right? How about you? Can you say amen if you'll treat your spouse with love and respect? Say amen. If you don't, the arrows of accusation come. You know what devil, diablos, means? The accuser. Look at you, he'll say. You don't have your act together. When you're a liar, when you don't do what you say you'll do, those arrows of accusation come. And eventually, my friend, and listen to me, eventually one of those arrows is going to reach the heart. It's going to damage your testimony to the point that you'll either never be useful again or it'll take years to recover and rebuild your testimony. That's why these two, inside and out, both very important. Very, very important. Now today, we've got to stop here. We're coming to the invitation, and I want to just ask you this. I'm not going to harp on a lot of things. I'm not going to shake my fist at you or point my finger at you. I'm just going to ask you, how you doing on the inside? Are you genuine? Number one, are you saved? Are you saved? Didn't ask you if you walked down the aisle. Didn't ask you if you were baptized. I ask you if you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Are you saved? That's a start with fixing the inside. That's a start with dealing with the truth. Maybe you are saved. You know you gave your life to Jesus Christ, but somewhere along the way you become a hypocrite. Sin has crept in, and you've been that person that's saying one thing, but you're living another because the inside's wrong. Listen, saved people have to repent too. Do you know that? Preachers have to repent. Deacons have to repent from time to time. Church members have to repent from time to time. Whatever is wrong inside, you can't fix the outside until you fix the inside. Maybe you're here today, the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church. Whatever the spiritual need is that you have, I just want to challenge you. Okay? Let's put on the armor of God. Let's start with the truth. What are you inside? Then let's put on the breastplate of righteousness. And when we go out here, let's let the world see the glory of our Father in the life that we live. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, it is a glorious word. And we thank you for the privilege of examining that today. Father, we are reminded. Sometimes we forget about the inside. As believers, we know we're going to heaven, and we do let hypocrisy sneak in on us. We give place to the devil. And when he takes place, he takes hold. Father, help every individual believer here today. Help us to put on the belt of truth, integrity inside and out. Help us to put on the breastplate of righteousness, our righteous conduct before you and the world. And Father, I pray that you will glorify your name through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.